Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder if you have a Rephidim in your life journey, a place where you had come to the end of yourself and your resources, but God did amazing things and you've never forgotten it, or a place where someone partnered with you in praying for you while you faced something very challenging and God prevailed. Both those things happened for Moses and the freed Israelites in the early days of trekking through the desert, following God's cloud in the sky toward a destination known only to God. So today, let's visit their Rephidim. Exodus chapter 17 tells us these 1 million people found themselves in the scorching heat of the desert with no water and no idea where to find water. Remember, they'd never been outside their slavery in Egypt. In response to their thirsty cries, God actually made water come pouring out of solid rock, and not just a trickle, but enough for all these people and their animals. It was another powerful evidence of God's full awareness of every need these 1 million people had, and God's ability to provide more than what they needed. News of such a miraculous water-spouting rock in the desert spread. And soon an armed nomadic group called the Amalekites came attacking these migrant slaves, determined this water-spewing rock would be theirs. While God had protected the fleeing slaves from Pharaoh's army by opening the Red Sea so they could run, this time there was no place to run, nothing but sand in all directions, and they had few weapons. These were slaves, not soldiers. Moses developed a plan. Joshua would lead those young men willing to fight, and Moses would stand on top of the nearby sand dune and pray for God's protective power to be poured out on his people as they defended themselves and their God-provided water. Now pause and ponder that strategic military plan. Does it sound reasonable to you? Have you ever responded to an unexpected challenge or crisis like that? As Joshua recruited and rallied some courageous men willing to defend their families with their lives against vicious, experienced pirates, Moses called Aaron and Hur to climb the sand dune with him, ready to rattle the gates of heaven with a cry out to God for his help. The record says it this way. So Joshua fought the Amalekites, as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever Moses lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands, one on each side, so that Moses' hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites. Exodus 17:10-13. Can you envision this remarkable picture in your minds? Better yet, can you put yourself into the scene? Put yourself in the battle, ferociously fighting in hand-to-hand combat. Are you greatly encouraged as you look up to the hilltop and see old Moses with his arms lifted up to heaven, praying for God's power in the battle? Or put yourself next to Moses, holding up his arms, joining him in prayer as you watch the battle, cheering on the warriors. Now pause a few seconds and think about your life struggles and the obvious questions. Who will pray for you when your battle is raging? Will they keep praying until the victory is won? Who will join you in the fight? Who can count on you to pray for them? And who can count on you to join them in fighting their life battles? As the Amalekites turned to flee the battlefield, dragging their wounded with them, God had a fresh message for Moses, and Moses gave God a new name that day. Exodus 17, verse 14 says, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Throughout God's grand narrative, remembering God's involvement in our human story is vitally important. The double victory God gave his people at Rephidim was never to be forgotten. A water-spewing rock in the desert, providing life-saving water for his thirsty people, and a battle victory against the Amalekites, combining prayer and courageous fighting against the enemy. Both rescuing works of God needed to be remembered. But did you also notice God promised he would deal with the Amalekites who not only attacked the innocent Israelites at Rephidim, but through much of the Old Testament history, they were continually raiding Israelite territory to steal, kill, and constantly pillage Israel. About 400 years later, Israel's first king Saul was instructed by God to avenge this and other unprovoked attacks by wiping out the Amalekites. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. God remembers, and God is a God of justice. Exodus 17, verse 15 tells us Moses built an altar of worship there at Rephidim that day and gave God a new name, Jehovah Nissi. For Moses said, "The Lord is my banner." Sadly, the story of Israel, even to present day, involves the continual need to defend themselves from people who desire to take their land, and even others who want to totally annihilate the Jewish people from the face of the earth. Over and over, courageous and prayerful Israelites have risen up, calling both Jews and the world to remember this great name Moses gave God this day, Jehovah Nissi, and to pray for God's protection once again of his people, Israel. So let's pause right here for some reflection. If you have trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin condemnation and sin bondage, then I ask you, how is Jesus Christ your Jehovah Nissi? How does the name of Jesus, his shed blood for your atonement, his current role of intercession for you in heaven, and his sovereign reign over all in our universe, how do all those things serve as your victorious banner against all schemes of the dark kingdom? And how does the Holy Spirit, living in you, guiding you, empowering you, teaching you God's truths, all serve as your banner in your spiritual journey? And finally, how does God the Father, as your adoptive heavenly Father, your justifier, serve as your banner, which identifies you as a son or daughter of the Most High God? Oh, I hope Rephidim has taken on new meaning for you today, my friends. And as always, some additional wisdom and lessons and discussion questions are found in the grand narrative link just below.